This is Just Talk with Sam podcast, y'all. Just Talk with Sam podcast. Just put your name on it. If you don't talk about it, be about it.
I don't know this like right now.
Seriously.
Review on iTunes, y'all.
But it's obvious, if y'all just listen, we never write this out.
Hey, what's up, It's your man Sam, host of Just Talking with Sam podcast. What? Just Talking with Sam podcast. Man, we have a great podcast for you. When I say great, I mean great. I get a chance to sit down with the rockabilly powerhouse. You know what? That wasn't even good. That wasn't a good enough introduction. For these soul-shaken saviors, these rockabilly rebels, these persons who will transfix your souls. This is Rio in the Rockabilly Revival. I get a chance to sit down with Shine Junebug Harris and Rio herself of Rio in the Rockabilly Revival. Get a chance to talk about what it is to be at a concert. And that is the loosest word I can use when I say concert. It's something different. This is one of those shows where you gotta go with me on this. When I say you gotta be there, you gotta be there in person. Buy your ticket now to wherever they are performing. Me personally, you gotta see them. One time isn't enough. We're gonna get into all of that. If you hear the songs behind me, that's them singing right there. Now, this is the truest form of rock and roll, and we're going to get into all of that on this podcast. When I sit down with Shine and Rio, we go through the Rio and the Rockabilly Revival, what it is to be in the band, what it is to be in the crowd like myself, what it is to be a, well, you'll get a chance to hear all of that. But first, as always, you got to pay a few bills. I want to say, if you get a chance, and those who haven't get a chance to do so, go to samshownation.com on the homepage and current promotions page. Click the donate button and give whatever makes you feel like a good person. This podcast has always been crowdsourced, and you guys have been making it a bigger, better, badder, great machine that it is, the Just Talk with Sam podcast. So thank you guys for doing so, and those who haven't, you can always go to samshownation.com, click the home, on the homepage or current promotions page, click the donate button, give whatever makes you feel like a good person. If you want to show your love to the podcast and you already gave whatever, you can always go to samshownation.com, hit the store button, pick up your t-shirts, your archived episodes, your stickers, whatever. Or my iTunes people, you get the free iTunes app. And you get a chance to get behind the scenes of all the stuff. First in line for any new or old podcast, actually. You can go get the people who not exactly with Apple. Not my Apple people. We do have other things. If you get the podcast link at samshownation.com, you can, my Android people, the Stitcher app or the TuneIn app. That's with Android or Windows, whatever phone you got. Or you can just get the RSS, put it in there, and you'll be fine. But either way, you get a chance to listen to samshownation.com. Also, I want to say thank you to the guys at Radio Opie. If you're listening, this may be our first chance for you guys broadcasting on the airwaves of Radio Opie. So thanks to those fine people at Radio Opie for giving a shot to a podcast that could. Like I said, you guys are making this thing a great thing. and be a part of Sam Show Nation by going to samshownation.com. Like I said, we got a few bills we got to pay. Those who are new to this, who are listening to this on Radio OP, we do all of our promotions up front, so we do not kill any of the magic that is Rio and the Rockabilly Revival this time, or any of our fine guests who happen to show up and kick it on Just Talking with Sam podcast. Our first promotions goes to the good folks at Mrs. Fields Cookies. Yeah, you got it. Mrs. Fields Gifts, Cookies. Let's just break it down. Go to samshownation.com, earn the current promotion page. Click the Mrs. Fields link. It is the season for giving, and this season, if you go to Mrs. Fields via samshownation.com, you get a chance to save up to 20% site-wide. You can just do that, just because, let's face it, everyone likes cookies. And 'tis the season to give whatever, when I say the season, Christmas favorites, Hanukkah cookies, non-denominational holiday cookies, regular cookies. If you don't like cookies, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I don't think you're a person. I said it. I don't think you're a person. And for my gluten-free folks, they got gluten-free specials as well. See that? We're reaching out by going to SamShowNation.com, clicking the Mrs. Fields link. You can save yourself an extra 15% off whatever you buy, not just holiday stuff. We're putting in the code SWEET15, SWEET15. And you can shop for all the people in your life, whether that be family, friends, holiday gifts, shopping for the business. It's around that time. You got a business party. You want to furnish it. You want to cater some cookies. Go to Mrs. Fields via SamShowNation.com and find something for everyone on your list this holiday season, with any type of customizable tins, bundles, gourmet abundance. Get yourself cookies, brownies, whatever they got, whatever that makes your sweet tooth feel good. Go to Mrs. Fields Gifts via SamShowNation.com. Our second sponsor today are the good folks at Flower.com. I don't know if you heard me a minute ago, but it is the holiday season. You got people coming over your house. You want to spruce it up a little bit. What's really going to set off that Christmas arrangement? You got the tree up. You got whatever you got going on. How about right on the middle of the table, a nice poinsettia? The best way to get that is go to SamShowNation.com and click the link for flowers.com. And you can find yourself the perfect centerpiece, perfect gift, and floral arrangements. You can do that by going to flower.com. They have orders where you can pick it up nearby. And this is like one of the few things on the internet where you get a chance to talk to a real person. Whether that be you're buying flower arrangements for the holiday, there's gift baskets you're giving to someone, you just want to do all of that floral stuff, go to flower.com, find a perfect gift. And guess what? For any purchase, $50 or more, go to SamShowNation.com, put in the offer code Charming, that's right, like your host, Charming, save yourself up to $10, save yourself $10 on any order, $50 or more. So go ahead, go to SamShowNation.com, put in the offer code Charming, save yourself $10 on any floral arrangement over $50, and there you go, flower.com, send fresh flowers on same day delivery. Our next sponsor are the good folks at Dollar Rent-A-Car. Look, I just went through this. It's the holiday season, and we have to see all the people we care about. Sometimes a plane just won't do it. So, I suggest a different option. Drive. Go to SamShowNation.com. Click the Dollar Rent-A-Car, home of the lowest rates guaranteed. You can find all the types of vehicles you are to take you to the good people that you need to see. You can save up to 15% on your weekend plans. You can save, well, it depends on whatever you got going. My AAA members can save up to 10% off any vehicle, plus 10% discount on any GPS you need to get there. You can lock low and go. What that means is you can book now at an equal rate of any compact car, and they guarantee you a compact car or a large video. Oh, excuse me, vehicle, if you lock it in right now. Look, you need to see it, people that you care about. I say drive, go see them. Make a trip out of it. Go to Dollar Rent a Car via SamShowNation.com. And last, and certainly not least, the good folks at Amazon.com. Yes. Look, Cyber Monday is upon us. And you have to get that one gift for that people in your life. They want it bad. But I know you, if you're anything like me, you're full on turkey, you're chewing your turkey sandwich, and you don't want to go out there and fight the crowd. I have been doing this for the last 3 years. I get up, I fire up that laptop, I fire up that phone, I go to SamShowNation.com, I click the Amazon link at the homepage or current promotions page, click the Amazon link, and shop for that special someone this holiday season. And I didn't even leave a couch. Didn't leave a couch. I can get some jackets. I can get that power tool for Dad. I can get some apps. I can go ahead and get whatever I need. I can even order food. I figured that one out. I didn't even know that. Go to SamShowNation.com. Click the Amazon link. Let's face it. You was going to go there anyway. You were going to Amazon anyway. It is Cyber Monday, and you are looking for some deals. Black Friday, we just passed that. I still have all my limbs intact because I went to Amazon.com via SamShowNation.com. You are going to go to Amazon anyway. In fact, it's not even going to cost you more money. In fact, it may even save you some. So go to Amazon.com via SamShowNation.com. So that is enough of our sponsors for this week. I know I sounded like a great pitch man. Sounded like an old school Don West. If y'all remember that, you're just as old as me. So, we're going to get into this, but before we get into this dynamic podcast that Sit Down with Junebug and Rio, I want to lead in with this single Testify, and then the next voices you will hear is my own with Rio Shine, Junebug Harris of Rio, the Rockabilly Revival. Right here, there's Testify. I'll see you in a few.
Gonna dance with the devil at midnight. Go right through the center of town. Go take a little bite of that apple, baby. Burn that old tree down. Testify. Oh, oh, testify, testify. The spirit gonna come up on ya, gonna fall right under my spell. Got devil in my hips and blood red lips, gonna ring you like a Sunday bell. Testify. Burn that old tree down. Mm-hmm. Said the beat turned my heart as black as coal. Gonna burn that old tree down. Preach from the pulpit of rock and roll. Gonna burn that old tree down. Whoa, said the beat turned my heart as black as coal. Gonna burn that old tree down. Preach from the pulpit of rock and roll. Do you believe, 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 believe?
The rhythm
rhythm got me by the conscience. I'm a sinner, oh, yes, I know.
I've already hit record, and this is normally how most podcasts starts. It's just like some people, like I don't have to make like a huge big introduction. Mainly because I do that earlier on. But now. Now I'm just talking to you guys. Rhea, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Oh, man.
Coming over.
Coming over is the very least I can do, mainly because, like, I got notes, but they're barely notes. It's just kind of like, no, I mean, like, I feel.
This is wrong.
The reason I do, because you saw me break out the paper, you're like, oh, here it comes. Like that was that.
No, I was good.
No.
Hey, bring what the paper. I don't care.
But like with my notes, they are barely notes. I always get criticized by because they say my notes can be written on fortune cookie paper because it's so little. Because I internalize it because I don't want it to look like I'm just reading Google to you guys. It's like, yeah, you did this, right? Yes. All right, in the podcast. Right. No, I'm not going to.
That's exactly it, too, because you're like, so I hear you did exactly this thing that I read that you did.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, well, thank you.
But one of the things about you listened to me. I'm a fanboy at heart. So a lot of this is personal experience, mainly because I saw you guys, I want to say about a year ago, maybe this time. Mm-hmm. Okay. This memory serves me right, and if I'm totally full shit, you can tell me. You can just tell me, like, no, you're wrong.
No, we never did that.
I think at the Detroit pub is around this time.
Yeah.
Last year.
Last year around this. It was later in the year, but yeah, we did a thing at the Detroit pub.
That's right.
It was kind of one of our holiday shows, remember?
We were there twice. There was a fundraiser. One was like a benefit concert for Chris
Bjornberg. Yeah.
And that's the one I went to.
That's the one I went to.
Mm-hmm. And that's when I learned of you guys. And since then, I've been kind of like, whoa. The reason I say that is because, A, you guys, for starters, are the only people on stage I would prefer to be further away from the stage to watch because everyone is doing something.
Yeah.
You guys are very energetic. There's dancing. It's like you're chugging Red Bulls. You're singing.
Ain't no sleeping on that stage.
No. So yeah. I would prefer to be in the back to watch everyone do everything because it's something interesting because I was with my friends and I saw it and they put me on to you guys and when we walked out they said, so what'd you think of them? I personally just told them, can I tell you Monday? It's not bad, but I need to process what just happened.
I gotta digest this. There's too much for me to put into words.
We actually get that a lot. They're like, what did I just see? What the hell?
What just happened right there?
My best form of it is what I said Monday, and this is like the only thing I wrote down. I'm like, you guys, for the most part, are the purest form of rock and roll.
Oh,
and when I say purist, I mean you guys are not of today's indie. Like, that style of music is before today's indie rock, before alternative, before, I'm just going back in time, like, before stadium, hair metal, before punk, before that weird 70s, late 60s art rock thing that was having that whole bohemian scene, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And before the first and second British invasion, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
It was just rockabilly music. Yeah. And I'm curious, in a day and age where everything is so auto-tuned, like, look at us. We're using Skype mics. And, like we're using Audacity to record and stuff like that. Right. You guys went so far on opposite. The other side of the spectrum.
Do you know, yeah, yeah.
Purposely. I mean, there's many levels as to why you did it. You know, I was brought up on this music because my uncle is Jack Scott, and he was one of the first rock and roll pioneers who developed this sound. So, you know, obviously I grew up with it, and so it's kind of in my blood and my DNA. But at the same time, I've done lots of other styles of music through the years, you know. But this, there's something about this style that is so raw, so just real. You just, it's just you, the truth, and the mic.
Yeah, you can't fake it because
No, fake it. You go out there and you leave it on the stage. There's, you know, it's just you, the truth, and the mic.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
And I love that. I love that. It's kind of, it's not for the weak of heart. No. It's not.
It's not. But it's good that it's not for the weak.
Yeah,
but,
that's like exactly from a performer standpoint, you know, there's a lot of people who would never dream of just going out there and just doing it. You know, raw like that without a lot of smoke and mirrors, a lot of things going on in the background.
Schmaltz, a lot of,
But that's the fun part, man. That's what gets my pulse going, you know, my heart racing.
And you know, and it's so cool too because like my background, I grew up on 80s, like big hair rock, like you were talking about. And then I got into funk, and I got into metal, and I got into, you know, so many different things. And then as I went on, I ended up going to school for jazz. And I got into all sorts of world music, but just sort of bombarded by so many different things. But through my appreciation of jazz, I kind of got into this thing of, you know, almost like anti-production. It's like so much I hear on the radio is so squeaky clean, so saccharinely perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
That is like that. It has no guts. It has no soul.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of it. His soul is dirty. Soul isn't too clean.
And that's like I've said that on the podcast many times. Or when I'm talking, I like my music with a little dirt in it. It's just something. Yeah. If it's for everyone, it just rubs me the wrong way a little bit. I understand it, and I guess. It has its place, but it's still kind of like, I don't know, man. You know,
don't you want to feel something from it? Don't you want to feel a little grit?
A little sweat?
Don't you want to break a little sweat just listening to it and knowing and watching that artist and hearing it in their voice and watching them give that? It's a lost art form.
Yeah.
It's a lost art today.
I really think it is. When you are that honest about it, when you put it out there, I mean, no filters, no crap. It's just you and you're sitting there on stage playing your instrument or you're singing or whatever, and you just put it out there as hard as you can. Mm-hmm. I mean, people cry at our shows.
I've seen that.
People break down into tears.
I wish you could see from our point of view. It's crazy. Every show's different, obviously.
We had a woman in her 80s at one of our shows who broke into tears.
Well, and I want to get with that too, because the age gap, I mean, honestly, I'll just put it on the table. My first real foray in rockabilly music is the movie Rockadoodle, and I am showing my age right now that I remember this. Like, I think it was like the story of Elvis told by a chicken.
Yeah, roundabout way. Yeah,
It was cute, but that form of music of rockabilly. It's you guys are like the closest to a time machine, and I'm going to get in the world of Detroit music because I remember three people have said this to me, and I always looked at them very weird. when they said this. My granddad, my mom's, or excuse me, my wife's grandmom, and I heard this on a documentary, I think Lemmy said it, and they all said the same sentence, and I looked at them like they were aliens until, I don't want to say it was just you guys, but like, I got it. It was around that time where, and that sentence was, I remember a time when there was no rock and roll. So when you said that 80-year-old, you struck a chord because my wife's grandma, my granddad who's passed on, and he's... Like, when he said it, I'm like,
Because it's not within your life experience.
It's not in any of our life experience.
You will never know what it was like not to have rock and roll. You will never unlearn that. That
exactly.
never existed for you.
It's a completely different life.
It's like people who existed before there was television.
Yeah.
People who were alive before there was radio or you know, something that is so fundamentally different.
I personally couldn't fathom it. I'm like, what do you mean there's no rock and roll? Like, and honestly, my, I don't know, wise grandma, I don't know if it's grandmother-in-law, I don't know, the grandmother, yeah. I don't know the term, but she broke it down to me. She was like, all right, think of it like this. When you think of rock and roll, what do you think of? And I just start naming just people. I was like, who's the earliest person you could think of? And I'm like, probably Big Bopper. Probably, like, probably somewhere in that time. She's like, yeah. I was around. I was there day one of that.
Yeah, I was there before Big Bopper was called Big Bopper.
Exactly.
Like Frank.
Exactly. Like, when she broke it down to me, I'm like, yeah, I was here. And so I'm like in this weird student pose, like, so what was on the radio? Like, there's no, like, I can't, to
Glenn
some degree,
Miller?
I still can't.
Glenn Miller? That's the thing, is that that music on the radio was so good then, too. Because, see, now this comes back to, like, with my jazz education and all that stuff, because I've actually spent a lot of time, like, sinking my teeth into the music. Basically starting from after Stephen Foster, you know, Genie with the Light Brown Hair. And so after that, we're getting into, like, Louis Armstrong. And we're talking, like, 1910s, 1920s. Early Dixieland and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it was all over the radio. Why was it that people, like so many people were basically playing show tunes when they were doing jazz? Is because show tunes were the pop music of the day.
They were, because you had that, like... right out of the vaudevillian era where it was just that was entertainment.
That's the pinnacle. That was what, you know.
That was it.
It was live. It was in their face, and that's what they knew. And so, you know.
And there was never a thing like a stadium show. It didn't exist. When you went to a concert, it was a room not much bigger than our living room.
Yeah.
And the artist was over there doing their show, and you were back sweating. because there was no place else
candles,
to be.
Candles
lighting
the
stage.
I mean, think about that. It's incredible.
Sitting on hay bales and stuff like that.
And so, you know, when people ask us, it's really crazy to me. They'll look at us and say, well, what is rockabilly? Or they have this preconceived notion of what rockabilly is. Truly, at the end of the day, it's just rock and roll.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Before the word rock and roll existed.
You had
rockabilly.
To call it something.
Well, they called it rockabilly before they called it rock and roll. And what it was a culmination of different genres. You had jump, swing, blues,
early
gospel.
Yeah, it was
a lot of gospel.
Spirituals, all of those genres came together.
Along with country.
And country swing, because country existed, and all this stuff. Right.
And that's really where rockabilly comes from.
And then,
like, they're talking about those rockin' hillbillies.
Right. And then the drum. Okay. Then percussion came along.
Yeah, after. I mean, the rockabilly. If you go listen to the early Elvis recordings,
there's no drums
on it. The only percussion you hear is the upright bass being slapped.
Now I just learned something, and I am really going to check that out.
Yeah.
The introduction that when they
Johnny
introduced...
Cash never had a drummer until way later.
When they introduced the drum, that's where rock and roll came in. That's when it really started to change and morph into this new sound.
Like, I am a big Johnny Cash, like, aficionado, I want to say, but is I never noticed. I just thought, we just don't need a drummer. Like I just thought it was like, we just don't need one.
Well, I mean, if you listen to it though, there is percussion and there's rhythm going on there. Now, part of it is that a lot of in country and everybody at the time were so influenced from jazz and jump blues and swing and stuff like that, that even the country music and even the gospel music and all this stuff, a lot of it still was swinging. And if you listen to all that early Elvis, and that's one thing that I really, really worked my band hard on, is like, it's got to swing, man. I want to hear that bounce. I want to hear that feel.
And that's one reason I kind of want to now kind of sort of separate you guys a little bit, because, you know, like, you are the musical director.
Yeah.
And that couldn't be a fun job after what I just, like, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, it's rewarding, but I would imagine that you got to be everywhere, because not only do you have to get the band together, and like, you can't fake it. This is no drum machines. You have no. You are the machine.
Yeah.
Like you, there's no faking it. Mm-mm. So now you have to separate a band, and you have to separate dancing, and you have Rio and the ladies who are harmonizing, singing these sweet but sort of frightening cautionary tales.
I love it that he caught that. But it's great. And to a certain extent, you're totally right. To a certain extent, it's a little bit easier than maybe it sounds. Because luckily, we've got some great people that work with us. And so, and Rio, what my goal is at the end of the day is to try to make this work so that Rio's doesn't have to worry about anything. That life is easy for her. That she could just go up and give everything she can to her performance, and that the band is there to make that performance happen, to make that magic happen. And I'm playing bass at the same time.
So yeah, I was just going to get into that, because you're playing too.
And I'm trying to watch the harmonies and make sure that the rhythms are just right and all that stuff. So, I mean, we put some time into the rehearsal and make sure that it's right.
There's a lot of time. I mean, he will write complete charts and arrangements.
I write the drum parts out, note for note sometimes.
Right.
To make sure that I, like, look, I want exactly this here, and so I need you to play this. So I'll write it out. I mean, and again,
he'll write the vocal lines out, and we will go for it. Now, it's a collaborative effort
there is a lot of collaboration.
Especially with
Rio. I mean, Rio brings a lot.
I write all of our original stuff, all the lyrics, and then I'll bring melody to him, and he'll work on that aspect of it. So it's a really cool give and take.
Like I said, I wanted to kind of split you guys apart a little bit, because there's a lot going on, and being a musical director, and then we have your side of it, more
artistic director.
Artistic director. And there's how I put it together, like, on the drive here. So, if it's a little rough, sorry. But the drive here, I always looked at it as backstage, and as I point to Sean. Yeah. I realize this is an audio medium now. And front stage.
And now he just pointed to
Yeah, yeah. So, like, you're in front of the stage, and you're still, like I said, telling cautionary tales, because that's what they are. Each song is, I don't know, about a 3-minute story of something that went horribly wrong and can stay that way if you don't straighten up.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those. There are a lot of those.
It's the best therapy on the planet. I'm telling you. You know, our shows are, you know, they're no different than going to see a concert, a huge concert on a huge stage, where we play all size stages. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. It has a very conscious, specific flair to it and vibe that kind of just came together through our reviewers from the beginning, and our fans kind of like said, this is like a church revival experience, the church of rock and roll.
It is.
And that is very much hand in hand with the genre anyway, from back the day. So that's kind of our vibe. And so we do a lot of sin and redemption and that kind of thing. And the beauty of feeling that stuff. And as a female, there's a very conscious decision from the look to the types of songs we do, yes. to the delivery. And you've got to, when you really look at it, you know, I'm out there in this pinup dress and it's real frilly and, mm-hmm. and what have you. But that was started mainly as a joke. Because I am like the biggest tomboy you will ever meet. And people don't know this, and they think I'm just like...
Now you just aired out secrets, now.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I'm giving you the scoop. But if you look at it, there's a method to the madness. It's more of my take on being a female and the artistic side. You've got the commercial side, which is, you know, the pinup dress and the boobs out to here and the makeup and the red lips. The other side of that coin is when you look and you see I always wear dusty combat boots with it. My performance style is more in line with the you know, James Brown, Little mm-hmm. Richard, the men of that era who are, you know, I come off that stage and I am a sweaty, dripping
mess.
Yes,
because you just ran like 4 miles.
Yeah. You know, it's like an exorcism on stage every time we do it.
And there is like, back to...
You know, that's an interesting push and pull and people are mesmerized by it. They don't know what to expect. Back.
As a guy in the crowd, I can speak to that because I was...
What the hell am I looking at?
It's like I knew what I'm looking at, but I'm like, oh shit, she was talking about me, man. Like, there's a lot of like...
There's a lot
yeah.
of that.
I mean, I understand yeah. it is a theatrical type and part and you're playing a role, but like you're pointing and you're gyrating and you got Sean on bass and like he's nodding and I was like, is he nodding because they all know? I understand, like I know you're keeping time, but at the same token I'm just kind of like, dude, this is something else. Ooh. So like, yeah, when you're in the crowd you're just kind of like, I'm going to clap because if I don't, she's going to come down and kill me.
So, she's going to follow me home and kill me.
And there is, it is that level of...
When the sun goes down,
it is. It's pretty intense, right?
It is.
Pretty intense.
There is a tension in the air.
Wait, but you know, but the great thing about it at the same time is if you come to our shows, and you'll see, and a lot of reviewers have said this too, at the core of it, what is that?
Salvation.
Hope and salvation. Because really, it goes on this arc, and by the end of the show, it's about redemption. It's about shedding all that. And part of the reason it is so intense, man, mm-hmm. is because as a female, okay, you're not expected to be out there in a dress like that. You're not sweating and grunting and just kicking ass.
Yeah.
And you're out there and you're doing this and it's cathartic. And for women especially, they go crazy for it. And it's that dichotomy. So by the end of the show, when we're singing Save My Soul.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They come along for that ride. And we have seen people of all demographics. Mm-hmm. All backgrounds, all ages,
everything.
Dancing for the first time in years, crying,
sweating.
I mean, it's like a revival.
Guy in the back of the room. Myself, I'm like, I don't know what I just saw. But I need to see. Like, just take my money here. I'll get it again.
Take my money. But you know, and that's a funny thing is because I mean, early on especially, we got a lot of people who were like, "What do you mean you're reviving rockabilly? It didn't go anywhere and all this stuff." But like, we're not trying to talk about us reviving rockabilly.
No,
we're talking about like that sense, that revival spirit, like, that whole experience that you get, where it's like this, you know. Out of body religious experience.
That's
all at
exactly
once.
Exactly what I was getting
through
at.
Music.
Like the name, I didn't think of it like you're breaking rockabilly back. No, I don't think of it like that. I think of August night church revival.
That's
yes,
right.
That's in the middle
of hey, my mama. Exactly. I know who he is. You can beat my mom. I have been to a lot, way more than where there's just that tent. That just,
oh, yeah.
just.
I come from a Pentecostal Baptist.
You know
background.
What I'm talking about.
Oh.
Where the tent itself is just magnifying heat.
Yes.
This is what it is. This is like,
that's what it
you
does.
Really don't need it in August on a clear August night.
Yeah,
but that,
you don't.
But
it could rain.
But you know, no, but you're in there and it's just at a fever pitch.
Yes.
And it's symbolically, it's just like, you know, you're sweating and you're casting out these demons and you're raising the roof and all this stuff. And it resonates with people.
It does. And I think that there's something very, very human about that experience. Something about that just connects with people. I mean, people who have never had like a quote unquote religious experience, and I don't care if they ever really have a genuine religious experience, but I think there's something about that magical thing about humanity, about getting wrapped up in it like that. And you know, letting it all come out of you, whatever it is in this case.
But yeah, whether it be singing, dancing, crying, or whatever.
And I think that, you know, my antics and shenanigans on stage that just, it's just an authentic part of me coming out. I mean, it's me allowing myself just to go there and do that. And you know what it does? Mm-hmm. It gives them permission to do that too. That's why you have people of all ages coming. We have
there's a
punks.
Huge call
We've
and response.
Got, oh, huge, huge, huge. And that's why people are there and they're crying and they're screaming and they're doing all this. And because they're like, oh, yeah, I kind of like hold that space for them, open that door, and let them come along too. Because everybody has needs that release. And it's like this, it's like such a raw kind of release. And I think that, you know, I know that people really appreciate it because they tell us.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Well, like I know personally from being there, and you guys have a show coming up. I don't want to mess this up. December 12th, correct?
13th. December 13th.
Sorry. But yeah, December 13th.
December 13th.
And
the Women Who Rock Showcase. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that, I told my wife, I'm like, all right, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get a sitter now. We're like, and she, and how, she like, what do you mean? Is like, we've been to shows before. I'm like, dude, calm down. You watch this. And I'm like trying to like explain it. And then it just turned
hard to explain, isn't it?
It was 5 minutes of me really giving it my all, and then I just pointed to YouTube. Look at it. You that is nothing compared to what you're gonna see, but I'm not smart enough to come up with the words. And she was like, what? This is what it is. I just, like, I owned it. Like, I am not smart enough to come up with the words here.
Oh, my God.
And, so this is the thing, man.
And I told her, I was like, all right, this is what we're going to do. Hella hot water. We're going to take care of the boy, and we're going to go see this. Because mainly, you need to see this. And if you, for some reason you don't go, I'm going. And you could feel free to come with me, but if you don't show up, I'm not going to be, like, very, very heartbroken by it. I mean, you have the option.
It's going to be a really cool show, and this show is a little bit different than normal because it is a showcase of women, and each of us only play a 30-minute set in this.
Yeah.
I know, right? But...
Okay.
We've got Carrie Roche from American Idol.
Mm-hmm. Carrie Lynn Roche.
Carrie Lynn Roche. Obviously, Rio and the Rockabilly Revival. We have Carolyn Strijo, who we have teamed up with many times as a double bill.
She's awesome.
I'm one of my favorite people on the planet.
Yeah, she's great.
And then a brand new artist who's releasing her new CD, Maggie Coco. And so it's going to be a really great night. A lot of guest musicians, and it's great. But I'll tell you what. In that 30 minutes, we're going to do some saving and testifying. I will guarantee that it's going to be off.
It's
going to
be
hook.
So this is going to be basically our typical show is somewhere around an hour and 15 to an hour and 30. So we're crunching it into a half an hour. So we're going to try
is
to get all of that
possible?
Energy.
Is,
we'll find out.
Or
we may combust.
One thing I'm going to look for this time is the boots. I never noticed.
Yeah.
Because I'm more caught up. I mean. Where you said, you know, you're playing a female part and you're really doing it up top. And I'm just kind of like, I see it, but I'm not paying attention to that. I'm more like, this is happening. Like,
it is. It's like a carnival.
It is.
It really is. It's like a carnival. We're carnival folk. At the end of the day, we're carnival folk.
It is.
And I'm happy with that. I'm okay with that. But yeah, and that's the thing. Like, people who follow us and watch, and they start to pick up on this stuff. Oh, and they're seeing all these different layers that come into it. So now that you've seen that, now that I've told you that, next time you see us, you're going to see different things that you didn't notice.
Yeah, it's never the same. That's one thing. It's never the same.
I've seen you
on two different occasions, and one of the things that, and this is, I guess, just being who I am, this is the only criticism, and this is not really a criticism, you make it hard for people to be too cool for the room. Because I'm usually that guy, or at least I want to be that guy, where, like, if I've seen someone before...
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. I want to be him so bad.
You're better at mantra.
Even though in my heart, I'm a fanboy. I like who I like, and I just like them at full force. So I try my hardest with others to be like, yeah, I've seen them before, but aren't they good? You know, like a little fanboy comes out. This time, I'm more like, when I saw you guys, I've seen you guys live 3 times, and every time I'm like, dude, man, shut up. And I'm just kind of,
you got stuff to do here.
Hey, man, shut up. And,
nice.
And I try to be so cool for the room, where I'm just kind of like, man, they did this one time, and I can't do that. I'm watching you guys, and I'm just kind of like, Okay, I'm just waiting on this ghost collection plate because I know it's coming. Like, I know it's coming.
That's right.
We should put around a collection plate.
If you did.
We should hand it out to charity or something.
If you did, no one would be surprised.
Like,
I'm waiting on it.
That's, you know what? I like that. That's a
kind of, I'm waiting on it.
That's a good idea.
When I saw it, I'm like, yeah, it's coming. Like, I'm looking for the collection plate at this point. Yep. I'm just like, And when it didn't come, I felt like guilty a little bit, because I'm skipping out on church. Like, then you gotta make that come to Jesus meeting in the car. Like, well, it's their fault. They didn't pass it. I mean, the opportunity didn't present itself. But
you did, because the thing is that when you're watching, man, and like if you let yourself just go and give into it, man, like, and give of yourself, you've given.
And I'm not being cute, but that is a given. What I'm saying, it is, because. Alright, I don't know if you guys can do this, I don't think you can, but, like, can you kind of, like, skip out a little bit and just kind of, like, watch? I put up a camera and see yourselves.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm totally bad at this. Like, personally, I've never listened to a podcast when it's published.
Yeah.
Because I'm bad at it. Because I start picking apart myself.
You get in your head, right?
Big time. But that's why I asked the question, can you guys watch a camera of yourselves and be caught up as a fan?
Can't even believe I'm saying that, but there have been moments, like shows, where the energy was so high and I'm watching it and it's not like I'm watching us. It's like I'm watching somebody else. And I got sucked into it. I got, you know, called into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely happens.
What about you?
For me, that happens on stage.
Like, really?
Yeah. Here's the thing. That's so fun
for
me.
The part, it shouldn't happen?
It shouldn't happen. But I mean, part of the magic is getting caught up in the moment from the stage as well. I mean, I think that would be true for Rio, too. I mean, she's putting it out there, but she's in the moment. You're in that moment, sharing it with the audience. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you're delivering, too. But that doesn't mean that you're not enjoying it as you're doing it.
I get that.
And more importantly is that then I also get to sit in the back of the stage and watch Rio from behind while she does
God's
her thing.
Sake.
Well,
oh
I mean,
God,
hey.
And she is,
go.
You know,
my wife.
I know, I mean, just
I gotta tell
keep
you,
a happy home. Go ahead,
it's,
man.
It's a little, it's tough. Like, we come home, and she's like, oh my God, you know, I'm sweaty and gross, and I gotta, oh, I'm so beat up now, you know, because, I mean, you're beat up after something like that. You're
yeah.
I'm on the floor, like, do you know, doing the.
She's like, I got bruises on
my knees. I come home.
She's come home with blood on her knees and stuff like that.
I would imagine.
And I'm tired too. But I'm also over there going, I need a cold shower.
Yeah,
right because I can't see straight anymore.
You just saw. Okay.
Oh my God.
That.
Oh my.
First of all.
God.
Congratulations
for
locking that down. I mean, I know you're here, but I'm looking at him right now. Because that.
He is pointing at Junebug.
If you can. I mean, like, you see this, like, as a fanboy, I'm like, yeah, man. She got all my money for my ticket, so.
Here, I tell you what. This is here's the thing: is we're like the last couple days, she's been working on some ideas for the song, and what we'll do is we'll sometimes take our studio tracks and mm-hmm. she'll like record ideas to kind of flesh them out, so that then when we get to rehearsal, they're all ready to go.
Thus, all the
yeah, yeah
all
the that's what we're looking at right now. Yes,
all this infrastructure here, and I go away. I'd let her do it because if I'm like in the same room, like I'm breaking into a sweat.
Oh,
it is
brother.
Well,
it is
listen
lovely.
To this man. Thank you.
That's the level
I appreciate
of
that, man.
Oh, it's.
I just
it's tough.
I don't know if you just saw this, and
I love
feel
you.
Free to rewind this. He broke it down in two as a performer with you, and yeah. as your husband who's. Well, with you.
Right.
He got a chance to see on both sides of it. So, yeah, I will hope he would have to leave because, like
I'm like, look, I mean, and I'm here, and I know that, like, your listeners who have seen our show,
mm-hmm.
and I've heard this from other people. Like, one of our interviewers was talking about this. She was like, it didn't matter if you're a man, a woman, or other.
I yeah.
mean, your eyes could not leave her on the stage. I mean, she is... such a dynamo and such a dynamic performer, but I mean, she's hot.
While I appreciate all of this, I really do. I'm convinced it's not me. It's the journey that I'm taking them on. They
she's
get
right.
caught
yeah,
up
she,
in the fever. They get the
wrong.
Fever.
Yeah, but she's not wrong. But she's also hot.
But yeah.
but there is it is also there because I mean we've had like we've had women who come up to her and like pick her up off the floor, squeezing her, going, I don't believe that. And I mean, and part of it's caught up from the energy, and part of it's that stuff. But I mean, there's a lot of sex appeal there.
But there is a lot of sex appeal on stage because, like I said, I've seen you guys live three times, and round two. I'm going there doing this. Can she pull that off again? And there's a vibe of, can she pull... And yes, you do every time. And, yes. Like, you're like... It's weird talking to you now a little bit because, like, you're all like, yeah, you know, I just do what I do. And then, like, whenever... Like, you'll see it on the... Well, maybe if you tape it. I don't know what button you push.
Oh,
like,
we
you
tape.
Just, like, when you're walking on stage.
We tape.
Like, you push a button and you Hulk out and you just like become this dynamo that he says on stage and you're like and you're preaching. All right, let's just, who are we kidding here? You're
yeah.
preaching. You're
preaching just, the gospel of rock and roll.
You're just like pointing and then you're like when we really get into it and I start really like getting very introspective about myself and what I did earlier that day. Like you start singing again. And I'm like, oh, man. Like, yeah, man. You really should. You really should. And then they're like, oh, well, you are at the show. You'll handle that later. But, like, but yeah.
You know, and what you're talking about, like, what was with that? Chris Bjornberg, actually, we mentioned him earlier. He caught a picture of Rio, like, in the middle of this moment on stage, right? And, like, everybody's moving all this stuff. It was just a great shot.
And, like, I'm looking at the shot, and it looks, like, straight out of DC or Marvel Comics
yeah.
in the middle of a battle scene or something like that. In fact, so much so that I'm, like, in the process of actually getting a comic book based on Rio and the Rockabilly Revival.
I would love Rio and the Rockabilly Revival drive around solving mysteries. I would love that.
It's going to be part
absolute autobiographical. Because, I mean, did you ever see a cartoon called Black Dynamite?
Yes.
Which is really good.
Just take my money now.
Yeah, right? the bad guy in Black Dynamite is the man. He's always changing, but it's always the man.
It's always the man.
The man could be Richard Nixon in one episode. It could be somebody else.
I think it was like Kermit the Frog in one.
Right. But there's always a, you know, proverbial the man. It was the hip-hop Kermit the Frog.
Yeah.
That's right. I remember that now. But, So that's kind of the concept, is rather than try to focus on, you know, specific bad guys or whatever, it's going to be more like real life, because real life has got bad guys out there. Now, of course, we're going to amp it up and we're going to make a comic book.
Because it is a comic book.
Because it's a comic book, and it's going to be fun like that. But, I mean, like, all of the stuff is going to be based right off of the real members of Rio the Rockabilly
Revival. I would love to see that. That would be like a comic book I would read, and no one has to throw the punch. She would just sing, and they confess immediately. Like, oh man, I totally did it, man.
There you go.
Just lock me up. Good work, Rio. See you in Houston. And they're like,
we dump piles on the tour bus, and we go like the Mystery Machine, and off we go.
Right before it gigs, you guys are solving cold case files. It's like,
you got to look under the bed. That's where he's been the entire time.
He told me. Didn't you hear the second verse?
Pay attention.
But, I want to just... That's so awesome. And second that come out, because I'm a diehard comic book guy. I don't know if the Breaking Bad shirt gave it away or anything. And I'm looking at Star Wars across from me. So every Wednesday when I go buy comics, I've been doing this since I was like 9.
Right.
So
on.
Like every Wednesday is comic book day.
Comic book day. You go, you get your goodies, and you know.
Then you sit down and read, and you ignore everyone for the rest of the day, right? This couldn't be just in my house.
No, it's not.
Well, yeah, I can understand because, like,
you two understand each other.
I talked to him before the interview. I'm just like, oh my god, we're in danger of being lifelong friends.
Yes,
I even use jokes. I'm so there.
Like, some of the stuff, like, I mean, it's a shorthand. You know when you see a fellow comic book reader or a true believer. Oh, see, I threw that one in there. How she did it, she was like, oh, God. And I saw your eyes roll, like, I've heard that a few times. And meanwhile, my wife, who's producer of this show, is listening to this.
Both of us laughing.
Yeah. Like, I can hear my wife right now just like, oh, God, no. But yes.
He's in deep. His geekdom and...
Yeah.
You can't shut it off, Rio. I mean...
I've learned that.
Yeah.
I've learned that about him.
Why would you?
I would like to hear her version. I think I can help.
Look, he just got me addicted to Doctor Who.
Oh, my God, so
good,
addicted.
Good work. Yeah. Good work.
You know what? And actually, what the gateway drug was for her was the reboot of Battlestar Galactica a few years back.
Yes.
Yeah, because of course, it had great writing and great acting, and of course, she's an actress. And so, like, I, like,
good
brought
work.
Her in, and I'm like, no, you got to see this. It puts your stomach in knots every episode. You're going to love it. And she started watching it with me, and she was like, oh, my God, this is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we would start getting angry. Because it's like a week.
Yes.
A week. And so we'd like purposely not watch for 3 weeks. So we'd have it DVR'd up before, you know, Netflix set up.
Sickness.
And
it's a sickness.
I'm glad
brought me into.
I'm glad you did it with Battlestar. I got my wife with Walking Dead.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one. But now, and I find this as a crown jewel now. Because now this is like third level nerdom right here.
No.
Man.
Shoo. I preach the gospel of Chew everywhere I go.
Chew?
Chew.
Chew.
Oh, the book Chew?
I don't know you. What's you?
Oh, man.
Did I miss like, one?
All right. I know I have to apologize to my listeners because, like, every, like,
a minute,
like every three. Look, just, you may want to fast forward. They've heard it. I've got on this show, and I'll preach about Chew. All right, Chew is this, and, well, tomorrow's Wednesday. I know we're recording. This comes out on Sunday, whatever, but tomorrow's Wednesday. Just go to your local comic book shop and pick up Chew. Chew is this. Okay, Chew is our current day world of where we live right now.
Right.
Some people have power, some people don't, just like mm-hmm. a normal comic book universe. Mm-hmm. But in it's one thing. In their universe, 9/11 never happened.
Oh, wow.
But you know what the big thing, the big tragedy is?
What?
Bird flu.
Bird flu?
Remember, like,
yeah,
a couple years ago when bird flu was the big thing? So now bird flu has taken over and now has become an epidemic. So now, since bird flu, like, how we have Homeland Security because of 9/11, mm-hmm. Homeland Security isn't the big wigs anymore. The big wigs, believe it or not, is the FDA. So, owning any form of bird is equivalent to, like, owning drugs or like,
so,
if you, the laws are possession,
where'd you get that ostrich?
Distribution or ingestion.
Okay. So you can't eat chicken.
No chicken, no duck, no pheasant, no KFC, outlaw.
Whoa.
So now here's the kicker.
KFC switched to pork.
It's just no more KFC. It's what it is.
Gone. Right.
And it's all like underground, sort of like how the bootlegging of like alcohol was in the '20s. So how people sneak like a two piece. That's how they treat chicken and duck and pheasant.
Oh my God.
Because the FDA is like that tough.
It's lockdown on it.
So now this enters our hero. Our hero is Tony Chew. He's a homicide detective.
Yeah.
Now, since, remember, Homeland Security is which he has a mutant power, much like everyone else in the universe as well. His mutant power is, well, is kind of gross, but if he eats anything, he can trace it to its origin. Or if he ingests anything. So, like, if he's eating a peach, he knows where the peach was from, who planted the peach, what tree it came from, what farm it came from, where everything surrounding that peach. The only thing that doesn't work with is beets, for some reason. So he eats a lot of beets because the memory, he takes on the memory of anything he eats or ingests. So, like, if he eats a salad, like, he's done for the day because he knows where the lettuce came from. He knows where this, he knows where the whatever fixings you put on the salad. He can trace it to his origin.
Wow.
The problem is, the cops that he worked out for found out he can do this. So
they're constantly feeding himself.
Exactly.
Like birds.
And now I'm using air quotes. Guess what he now works? Instead of the FDA, which was the big wig in town, he now works homicide. So if you die,
ew,
exactly.
Get out.
So they get like a little chunk of whoever died, picking it up and feeding it to him.
Cold case files. That's what it.
Stop
so like
it right now.
Wow. So while he's doing stuff for the FDA, so like if they really need to solve this out, they need to solve the case. Hey, let's get you on this.
It's you,
Tony. Tony has to walk in there. He's not happy about this at all.
No.
He's like, seriously, dude. And like one time, the only person,
Lord have mercy,
or excuse me, the only thing who saw the murder take place was a dog that died at least 7 years ago. At least that's when it was entered into evidence.
Right.
So Chew,
had to eat a chunk of the seven-year-old dog.
Yes.
Seven-year dead dog.
Yes.
Wow.
He solved the case, but it's like...
Who thought of this?
Who wrote this?
It's so
crazy.
Awesome.
That, do they have a therapist, though? Because I hope so.
Like, it's awesome because it's like crazy. The world... everything is super crazy. Like, the Food Network... is like cut is almost like a third of what we know it as, and like Tony, yeah. His brother would have been the equivalent of Emeril in our world. Lost his job because of the bird flu epidemic. He can no longer cook. So now
there was too much emphasis on bird before it happened.
There you go. So
how funny.
So wow. He lost his job, wow. And now his brother is like one of the underground bootleggers in the speakeasies that make like chicken and duck and like.
I will never think of chicken and duck the same way again.
It's such a good book, though. It's
you know what
so
I mean? Think about it. Like duck confit must be like passing out. Like cocaine. I mean, it's got like
yes,
it's got like street value, right?
But there's but that's just the main characters.
Duck Confit's so good.
And yeah, those are just the main characters. And much like in the superhero world, there are villains in the Chew universe as well. Like his girlfriend is a villain and doesn't know it.
What?
His girlfriend is a food critic.
Oh.
But the problem is she's. The word they use is a typopath. What that is, Chew is a tastopath. He could taste stuff and he could trace it to his origin. But with his girlfriend is a food critic, like one of the remaining food critics. But she's so good to the point if she eats something, she writes it down or types it. You know, it shows up in a paper like a food critic, and whatever experience she has. The reader feels it.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, viscerally feels it.
I want all critics to do that.
That's awesome. That's not always
really
a good...
That's really creative.
Well, it might not always be good, but I mean, like, you know...
Because she had a bad meal, and people were literally throwing up in the street because...
They read her article.
They read her article!
That's really creative.
That's
I
really
have to
creative.
Say.
Creative.
Do you
creative.
Know
wow.
who writes this?
Oh, God.
Do you know their name?
Off the top of my head... I know.
I have to look this up.
Like,
it's crazy.
It's so wow. good. It's so, like
that's way
like I preached the gospel so much on this podcast about Chew for the last I want to say like a little over 9 months. Me and Robert. Hold on, wait. I'm thinking of his name. Robert. Why am I not Kirkman? Not Kirkman. I wish he makes a show about this. We're friends on Twitter now. Because he's like, I heard what you said. And I love this. Like, I bought the box set.
Oh, my God.
I bought issue one, and I just, that next day, made a U-turn back to the comic book store. And I'm like, I need all of it. And just start buying Chew volumes.
Oh, that's hilarious.
How long has it been around?
Chew has been around, I want to say, 4 years. Three or four years.
Okay.
They have you can like buy the volumes on Amazon now,
yeah,
like where
wow.
they have like the
yeah.
trade paperbacks. They're
crazy.
They're like at 14 trade paperbacks. At least that's what I have now. I just buy the trades at this point because if I buy the single issues,
no,
I'd be
think
broke.
Whoever's publishing this though should put you on the payroll.
Oh, it's so good though. It's so good because it's legitimately a crime drama. But it's just
based on poultry.
Based on poultry. That's what it is.
Poultry.
Who knew?
You know what? It's like
it's Homeland. Just with
no. What's
poultry?
What's that? What can I like? Law and Order SVU. No, it's like Law and Order Poultry.
Yes.
Oh my God.
It's so
you
awesome.
You know, right? That he'll be checking this out.
Oh, you might have to check
tonight.
Out.
I wish I would. I've known that. I got Taster's Choice at home. I would have packed it up with the podcast gear. Like, and this is staying in the podcast. This is staying in.
We're leaving it here. This is all for you now.
Yeah, but
So if you were coming in to listen to the Real and the Rockabilly Hour, I mean,
yeah, yeah, it's a piece. We're yeah. talking about,
but we got all this stuff cool. to talk about.
But I'm telling you, I'm dude. The second you read you, just text me.
All right, you got it.
Because I know I would know if you're faking.
I number.
like I would like. It's so weird. You know when someone really reads it. But my whole point before I got into this, that's how I got my wife into comics. Like
she's
reading Chew. Now, like,
that's crazy.
Oh my god,
that's a crazy gateway drug.
It is,
because that's a weird one. Wow,
but that now appreciates the more mainstream stuff because she's already seen Chew. So yeah. now, like, if you
she's desensitized.
so if she reads Batman, she's like, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, if you see, like,
what the hell's going on over here? He's talking, my house is about to burn down.
Hold on,
you'll be fine. Like, I wouldn't let you guys burn.
Just got out of control.
No problem.
Yeah. That scent was.
Power Chew, man. Can you Power Chew. I guess that's how we...
Well, you know, here's a fun thing. For the Rio and the Rockabilly Revival comic mm-hmm. book. So the way this is going to work is, you know, the band is going to be essentially the main characters, right? Mm. So I'm going to be there and Rio and all that stuff. So what Rio is she's Rio. She's going to be the band leader of a, you know... touring, working, musical ensemble that specializes in rockabilly music. It's all going to be, you know, rough hewn around the edges and all that stuff, just like, you know, real rockabilly and all that stuff.
Okay.
Pin-up dress, but still real and earthy and you know, all that kind of cool stuff. She's going to be super kick-ass, so, like, whenever someone needs their ass kicked, she's going to be, like, the number one.
I'd be happy to do it.
And Rio, you know, but it's going to be based, like I'm sending the artists, you know, like, I'm working on the scripts and all that stuff, but
I'm so ready to read this.
Yeah, so there is, but what she's going to do is she's going to commune with spirits, because... Rio can actually hear spirits sometimes.
Okay.
It's really cool.
After seeing her show, I wouldn't doubt it.
And so, now this is where it's going to become sort of fantasy mm-hmm. driven, where you're like, I'm going to have stuff like, you know, Johnny Cash is going to, like, give her clues as to how to get to where she needs to go.
That's sweet.
So we're going to have, like, the legends of rock and roll, and, you know, these are going to be the who she's communing with, and that's not her thing at all.
So there's that.
I don't know what my power is going to be, because I'm not cool enough for anything. I mean, all I do is I play bass, and... I think what I'm going to be is mostly the comic relief. I think I'm going to be the guy who screws everything up.
So it's sort of like the...
Real life?
Okay, well, there you go. I was being nice.
She's going to be the awesome one that knows all the cool
stuff. I was going to give you the cool.
Please, if you could see what goes down when we go on, like, on the road with this band. These people are crazy. This band is... They're all a bunch of jokers and just... Crazy people.
If you've ever been on the road with any band,
yes,
this is true of every band. That's nothing new.
It's just you guys are family. You guys love each other.
Yeah,
and that's just
it is like a big family.
It is, and when you spend a lot of time on the road with anyone, even with people you don't like, I mean, you got a. Because, I mean, I've actually toured with bands where there were people in the band I did not like. I did not get along with them at all.
Okay,
but I mean, you gotta. But it is kind of like a family thing. I mean, there might be, like, you know, an uncle or something that really rubs you the wrong way. But you still got to go to Christmas dinner, you know?
I get that.
And so that's the kind of thing. So for Christmas dinners every night and got to share a hotel room with him, too. So,
well, yeah.
But I mean,
just
also...
Just stay over there. Yeah, all right. Yeah, just stay
you know
over
what?
There.
We're really lucky with this because this group, they're really good. They're pro all the way, first of
oh,
all.
Yeah.
And we really are like a family. So, you know, we fuss and we argue. It gets intense because we all have pretty strong personalities.
I hope so.
A lot goes down, you know.
But
it's not the kind of infighting that a lot of bands see. This is more like, you know, just passionate about what we're doing.
I get that.
At the end of the day, we love
performing
together. Well,
if you're close quarters with anyone.
Yeah.
And for this band, this is nothing. I mean, these guys, I mean, everyone gets along really well. I mean, there really aren't any major, this is not the band I was talking about when I said there were bands I didn't think it would be.
I mean, like,
no,
this
is a different band.
Like, yeah, the set of balls on this guy, if he just did, like, yeah.
No, I've,
I've been like kind of a hired gun sideman for projects before, you know? And it wasn't my job to like people. It was my job to come and play bass. And so that's what I did, you know? And so, you know, it is what it is. It's a job. I mean, you don't always like everybody you have to work with.
So you redshirting some bands? Oh, that's deep.
That's
deep.
Was that the Star Trek?
The Star Trek? Oh, that's deep.
But no, I'm just saying that, you know, in real life situations, you know, stuff happens. And so when you're on the road with somebody, you know, when you're all in like one vehicle and, you know, in the same hotel rooms, in the same rooms for days or weeks on end, I mean, all that normal life happens to all of you at the same time.
I get that.
So if you're not a little ridiculous and you don't know how to just, you know, like she was saying, these guys can be crazy. If you don't know how to be crazy, you will go crazy.
Yeah.
The women in this band are the craziest of all. And Renee Turner and Yana Lvovna.
Wow, just
going to
put them on blast like
and
that.
And they know it.
they're hilarious.
They delight in their craziness.
But usually that's kind of...
And we do too.
In my experience, that's just... Really, that's what it is. It is the family aspect. Usually the girls are the craziest. And yet you do have to like... You know, because that everyone has their quirks or what have you, and all you're doing is just meshing with whatever quirks it is,
that's
and
right.
You just take the good with the bad.
Yeah,
that's it. That's
we
it.
Come off the road from being somewhere, and we're literally sore for days from
laughing
so hard.
Literally,
my voice will be hoarse from laughing. I will be angry because they've made me laugh so hard, and I feel like I have broken ribs.
But that's
it's wonderful.
But that's why you like. That's kind of like how I even treat my friends, where it's just kind of like, dude, stop, because you're going to make me laugh because you're being a jerk because I told you not to make me laugh,
yeah.
And now for some underlying reason, it's now funnier because
yes.
Can't get away from it. Come on, let me go.
I begged them. I have begged them. Please stop talking. Stop talking because they're so funny and. Crazy.
They're just a riot. And it's so good. But it is good like that because it's fun. And like, you know, Charlie, my God, Charlie's so funny. Our drummer Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
He Charlie Bongo, and he'll like get all excited about something. And just, I mean, it doesn't even have to be anything all that serious or even attempting to be all that funny, but just the way he delivers it.
Hilarious.
He's so excited and like crazed about something.
Mm-hmm.
That he's just like, his voice gets really loud and he like can't stop talking. We're like, okay, Charlie, we get it.
He's like a puppy. He's like a puppy, and I love that. And Jared, Jared's like our guitar player, and he's phenomenal. And he's like the gentle giant, you know.
Yeah, he is.
Doesn't say much, but my God, when he does, he's just. Terrific.
Which goes back to the comic book. In the comic book, Jared's character is going to be like almost like a Zen master of guitar. So his character is like almost kind of like Silent Bob. He's not going to do anything except for like every once in a while he's just going to like look
give
up
you
and
a good
like,
point.
But you have to find the path before you can, you know.
Yeah, like he said something like very
Yoda stuff, you know,
meaningful.
Yeah,
and everyone loves him for it. That,
yeah, some Confucianism is going to come out of him, and he's going to, and everyone's going to be like,
oh,
yeah. And they're like, I didn't even know he spoke, you know. And
that's so awesome.
It'll be fun.
We're a little bit in overtime, but this could go on forever. But I want to say thank you one more time,
yeah.
Rio. One more time, Sean. I usually do this at the beginning. I will say this personally at the beginning before playing songs or what have you, but please, any social media info. I know we talked about on the 13th of December. I want to get it right this time.
13th
on the
13th.
I saw those eyes can do. I was in the crowd once. On the 13th of December.
Yeah. 13th of December.
You're going to be at the Loving Touch
in Ferndale.
Not to mention all the other Rio and the Rockabilly just solo stuff when they're by themselves.
Let's see here. We're going to be on the Mitch Album Radiothon.
big deal. That's going to be really cool thing.
From 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. And that's on December 4th?
Broadcast live from Somerset Mall. Celebrities all day. It's to benefit Save Detroit.
Okay.
So it's
okay.
Great, great cause. So and we're going to do the...
Day. Last couple of years, they raised over $400,000 in a day.
Yeah.
So, awesome. I mean, we're hoping...
We've got a lot of different appearances coming up. Celebrity bell ringer for Salvation Army and stuff.
That,
but people can find us on the web.
And how can they do that?
Our website is RioAndTheRockabillyRevival.com. Nothing is spelled funny. It's all just one word. RioAndTheRockabillyRevival.com. So there's that. Twitter,
Facebook.
Rockabilly Rio. Look up, on Facebook, just look up Rio and the Rockabilly Revival. It's easy enough to find us. We also have a fan page from Australia where some of our Australian fans got together and kind of got some stuff going for us. So that was nice, too. But the one that we talked through the most is the one from the U.S., I'm also Junebug on base on mm-hmm. Twitter if you need me.
So a lot of options.
Instagram is also Rockabilly Rio. YouTube is also Rockabilly Rio for
okay.
the user. So
I'll make sure.
Those are the big ones, I think.
As
right?
much as all of that, I will do it on the Facebook page on right, the day right, this right. comes out. And cool. I am going to tweet so much about this like I normally do, but like now we got the chew angle.
Now we got the chew
sorry.
Angle.
I realized I'm like, oh my gosh, she's never eaten poultry.
To him?
I'm thinking about it.
Did he mess up our entire marriage? Is that what happened?
Oh, yes. No, I might be all about it.
Like, I hope it just
you might be all about it?
I might be.
Oh, Sam.
You know how I'm feeling about chicken lately.
I converted someone else to chew. I feel pretty good, man. I feel pretty good.
Do you know what? But hey,
it's a good day.
I expect to see you when we get this Rio and the Rockabilly Revival thing out.
You act like you won't.
Oh, well, I'm just saying. I just got to, you know. You gotta
Wednesday, I'm going to my comic shop. You'll see me just, yep.
Rio the Rockabilly Revival, here it is.
And then it's going to be two books I'll talk about incessantly. But
that's my goal, actually. That's
But once again, thank you guys
thank
so,
you.
Much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sam. We really appreciate it. Thanks
don't mention it.
Thanks for coming by.
Peace, everybody.
You're trying to knock me down, kick me around, drag my nerve up over town. You got a tongue on fire, jealous stare. There's waterfall, reason you think that I care. I'm in your head, I'm in your veins. So your mouth keeps rolling like a runaway train. Oh yeah, your mouth keeps rolling like a runaway train. Mouth keeps rolling like a runaway train. Make me famous when you say my name. Oh yeah, your mouth keeps rolling like a runaway train. I'm in your head, I'm in your veins. So your mouth keeps rolling like a runaway train. Like a runaway. That I care. I'm in your head. I'm in your veins. So your mouth keeps rolling like a runaway. Oh yeah, mouth. Let me famous when you say my name. Oh yeah, your mouth keeps rolling like a runaway train. I'm in your head. I'm in your veins. So your mouth keeps rolling like.
like a runaway. Oh yeah, yeah, Maltese Roland. Ooh. Maltese Roland. Ooh. Maltese Roland.
Oh man, that was a great podcast. And the song you just heard was Runaway Train from Rio in the Rockabilly Revival. We learned a lot. We got into podcasting. We got into comics. We got into what it is to be at Rio in the Rockabilly show. We learned so much. And one thing, one important thing that we learned, you have not one, but two chances in the near future to catch Rio and the Rockabilly Revival. You can catch them December 4th from the Somerset Mall in Troy, Michigan. You can come out. You can say hello. You can shake their hand. You can be transfixed. You can pass that collection plate. Whatever you got to do, you can be there. And it's from 11:30 to 1:30 p.m. at the Somerset Mall. They will be a part of the Say Detroit Radiothon 2004 Mitch album. Good friend of the podcast, Mitch Album. They're rocking it from 11:30 to 1:30 p.m. December 4th. Put it on your calendar at the Somerset Mall. Now, second chance to catch them. If you didn't catch them there, I understand. You probably heard them on the radio. You couldn't get off work. You couldn't fake sick. Whatever. Whatever excuse you got to come with. Now you have no excuse for the second one. That is December 13th. You can get your tickets in advance. You can catch them at the Woman Who Rock Showcase. They will be there at the Love and Touch December 13th. Doors open at 7. Be there. I know, Rockabilly. Be there or be square. Now, for my little kids, this is an 18 and up show. Though, actually, if you under 18 and you listening to me, parenting? I mean, come on. But either way, over 18 show, you get $12 in advance, $15 at the door at the Love and Touch in Ferndale. You can catch not just the great Rio and the Rockabilly Revival, but there's a few more people that's just as awesome. You can catch Carolyn Strijo. You can catch Carolyn Roche. You can catch Maggie Coco. You can catch them all for the low, low price of $12 in advance or $15 at the door at the Love and Touch in Ferndale. Once again, you can shake their hand. You can say, oh my God, that was awesome. You can do all of that by doing that. So please, check my buddies out, Rio and the Rockabilly Revival. That is just two shows in the near future. But anything else related to Rio and the Rockabilly Revival, you can catch at, you guessed it, RioandTheRockabillyRevival.com. No, just all one word. No tricks in spelling it. RioandTheRockabillyRevival.com. Or you could go to Facebook at Rio Rockabilly Revival, and you can catch all of their stuff. And you know what? While you're there, like the page. How about you do that? Like the page so you don't even have to seek them out. When they post something, it smacks you right in the face. Rio and the Rockabilly Revival, anytime you touch that Facebook. Speaking of Facebook, you can always catch the Just Talk with Sam podcast on Facebook at Facebook/, you guessed it, Just Talk with Sam. You can get us on Instagram at Just Talk with Sam on Instagram. You can catch me personally on Twitter at SamShow11. Or for all things related to the podcast, you can catch us at SamShowNation.com. What? SamShowNation.com. And once again, this is kind of our first broadcast with Radio Opie, and we're lucky to just be a part of the fam there. And this is your first listen of Rio and the Rockabilly, this show, Rio and the Rockabilly Revival, is the first show that you guys have seen of Just Talking with Sam podcast. We urge you to keep listening, or if you love this so much, you can go to SamShowNation.com. You can get a lot of those archived episodes, because we've been doing this for a while, and you guys have been missing out. And my new fans, you can go ahead, you can be old fans, and however long it takes you to listen to the podcast. So, I will see you guys next week. All things related to the podcast, you get us at SamShowNation.com. And I want to lead out with a song that shows my gratitude. And my voice isn't as great as Rio's. So we're going to lead out with the song Thank You by Rio and the Rockabilly Revival. And I will see you guys next week. Peace out, y'all.
I wanna thank you for being the biggest mistake of my life. I wanna thank you. The words that you said, well, they cut like a knife. And thank you for every tear that fell. I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you. Playing the part you'd have known from the start. And thank you.
Thank you.
For the scar on my heart where you tore it apart. And thank you.
Thank you.
For every tear that fell. Oh, thank you, baby. Yes, I do. And thank you.
Thank you.
For every tear that fell. Oh, I thank you, baby. Thank you, baby. Whoa.